got your Bible, let's open up the book of Ephesians. Boy, it's been good to be here tonight. And I want to try just to mind the Lord. You got your Bible, Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. And you pray the Lord help us tonight. Ephesians chapter number 3. You're able, we'll stand together and we'll try to give you just a little thought. I will not be like Sam, whatever his last name was, Sunday night. I'm not conscious of time. I'll preach till I get done. Amen. And I did not come to get out of church. I came to try to mind the Lord the best I could. And I want you to do that too. And I think he's worthy of that. Don't you guess that's right? Amen. Here the Bible said in Ephesians chapter number 3, start reading in verse number 14. He said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ with passes, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you one more time. And God, I'd ask you to help us tonight. I thank you for the good singing we've heard. Thank you for the wonderful testimonies, for the presence of God. And the Lord, I'd ask you for a few minutes of time. And Lord, that you'd help us to preach, God, what you placed on our heart. Father, I'd ask you tonight, the Lord, if it be anything that hinder me from being used by you tonight, I pray. May the Holy Ghost put his finger on it. And God, may we readily confess it and forsake it. God, I'd ask you, that Lord, if this is the last time that I'd ever get to stand and preach the word of God, Father, I just want to stop right here and to say I thank you for helping me all these years. And God, you sure enough have been a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And the Lord, I'd ask you now, give us good liberty and give us good unction to preach. And to God, I pray, may you hit the target by the help of the Lord. Father, I ask you, go with us now. In Christ's name, amen and amen. You can be seated. I was thinking, and listen, I want to say this. I'm not done preaching on what the church is sure to be out of the book of Acts. But I woke up the other night about 3 o'clock in the morning, and this has just been eating me up ever since. It seemed like I just can't get it off my mind, and I can't get it off my heart. And honestly, that's stuff that I've already told you. So I'm not going to tell you nothing new tonight. But thank God it'll sure enough be good to be reminded of what it says. Amen. Here the Bible said, and I'm interested primarily in the verse number 15. Boy, I like this terminology. He said, "Of whom the whole family." Boy, I thank that. I thank God for that. He said, "In heaven and in earth is named." I start thinking about the family. That thank God we've got. Boy, I'm sure enough glad we've got a bigger family than you can say. Amen. I mean, God, folks, thank God. Hey, listen, they're blood related. Amen. On both sides. And maybe not just naturally, but I thank God spiritually. And I've been thinking about this term. I was telling some folks one time, and I don't want nobody to misconstrue what I'm going to say. I understand tonight that the Bible said in Acts 4:12, it said, "Neither is thou salvation in any other, for there's none under name under heaven given among men," thank God, "whereby we must be saved." I understand it's a specific way. I understand John 14:6. And he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me." I understand John 6:44, where he says, "No man can come to me
except my Father which sent me, I draw him. Amen. And he said, and I'll raise him up at the last day. I thank God for it. At John 6:37, I swear I'm glad for that truth in the Word of God. He said, all that my Father shall give me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, he said, I'll in no wise. Boy, I like that. Don't you like that? How you say, friend, I don't know if I went up there and I prayed if I'd get it right. I got good news for you. You can't get it wrong. Amen. Hey, praise God. I about shouted on that one already. About I preached myself happy. Amen. I mean, I'm glad tonight. And thank God that the Lord has seized our heart and he made us a promise. He said, if you'd come, there'd be no way he'd cast you out. And you say, preacher, how did I know he's a dealing with me? How do you reckon it's the devil telling you you're lost? Amen. Absolutely not. Thank God. How you reckon it's the devil telling you you ought to get saved? And no, that's the glorious gift of God. Amen. I want to say this, friend. I've been thinking about being born again. And I remember, you know, you've heard me say many times, and thank God you must be born again. And there's a time I said, man, how you got in the family of God, and we got there by a new birth. And that is so. And then one day it just dawned on me. I got to preaching over there and studying out of the book of the Romans. And I thank God I didn't just get birthed in, but I got adopted in. Amen. And boy, that makes me happy. Hey, you say, what's the difference? I'll tell you what the difference is. Hey, listen, whenever you birth somebody, hey, you get what you get. Amen. Hey, but when you adopt somebody, thank God, hey, you know full well what you're getting. And I'll say this, I sure am glad that there was a God in heaven and looked down where I was at and saw me in my condition, and he chose to pick me up. He chose to lift me out. He chose to redeem my soul. And so I got birthed in. I got adopted in. I say thank God for that. I told you the other day, not long ago, I'm asking this in the prayer room, but I'm glad I got married in. Amen. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, he said that thank God that even a soul man ought to love his wife, even as Christ also loved the church and he gave himself for it. And boy, I'm glad. I mean, you say, preacher, I ain't never seen the wedding. It ain't happened yet. I'm in a betrothal period. Amen. I feel like preaching on that for a while. I say, thank God. Thank God. There's a day coming, friend, when the wedding bells are going to ring out and the bride of Christ has a going up. Amen. I mean, the whole family, every one of us that's in the bride has a going to where he's going. And thank God, I'm glad. This ain't got nothing to do with the message time, but sure enough makes me happy. I'm glad Revelation chapter 19, I'm going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. And then I got to thinking about this. In Romans chapter number 11, I'm going to give you good news. I got birthed in as a son. I got adopted in as a sibling. I got married in as a spouse. But I got grafted in as a stranger. Amen. Oh, you find over there, he said, there's a wild olive branch. He's a wild olive branch. And it's got a real bad root. Amen. Praise God. Listen, I'm about three. I'm going to have to stay right here. I'm liable to run. Amen. I'm just saying this. I want you to pick this up. And thank God there was a time that our root was bad. And there wasn't nothing, not a thing in the world we could do for the root problem that we all had. And the Lord just broke us off. And thank God we hadn't found a good root. It's almost like I've read about that in Isaiah chapter 11. And when it talks, praise God, when it talks about the root of Jesse, I mean, listen, I found a good root. And he took the wild olive branch and he put him in the good root. And thank God now I'm grafted in him. And it's a, hey, it's no longer me, you say, but it's what's in him that flows through us. Amen. I'm saying, thank God, I'm glad I'm a part of the family. family of God. Amen. Oh, listen, let me say to you, here's some things I got to thinking about. I woke up in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. I might slobber and snot all over myself. Y'all was used to it by now. But I want to say this. I woke up 3 o'clock in the morning. How the other morning, the Holy Ghost woke me up. And I got to thinking about different people. And that's who they was. And that's what I want to preach about tonight. I want to preach about how they responded and getting put in the family of God. And the first thing I thought about, and Brother Nathaniel, I thought about old Ruth. Old Ruth, she was one that got married in. Amen. Oh, listen, an old stranger, Jordan. I didn't have no hope. I didn't have no future. I didn't have nothing to look forward to. I didn't have a husband. I didn't have a home. I didn't have nothing in heaven. And she was a going down. But oh, thank God. It was a day that the grace of God appeared unto her life. I'd say this, friend. I sure am thankful for when God's grace appeared unto me. Amen. You remember when it appeared unto you? I mean, listen, I started thinking about her. I stand in that place. I'm not listening. If you know anything about your Bible, and the book of Judges ends like this. He said, never man did that which was right in his own eyes. And ended in a state of anarchy. And then 2 chapters later, in 1 Samuel, you find the king, oh, King David, come down. And so Judges ended in gloom. And 1 Samuel ends in glory. And the way to get between gloom and glory, it's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, folks running around. I said, boy, I'm gloomy. I don't know nothing good. I don't know about anything good happening. Hey, you are still going to heaven, ain't you? Amen. I smiled at me on that one. I thought, I listen. Hey, this may not make a lick of sense. I'm just going to say what I'm going to say, all right? Hey, but I want you to understand. I want to be graceful like Ruth was. I mean, I want to be graceful in my life. I thought about this. The first thing she did, she experienced the grace of God. What a blessing it is. What a blessing. I think so many times about Sheila Haley's testimony, and she'll stand up and say this, and she'll say, I know a lot of folks have said when they came to church, they wasn't looking for the Lord. But she said, when I came to get saved. Amen. And I think, praise God. Praise God. Amen. And the Bible says this about Ruth. And said that she went out looking. And she went out looking. Amen. For grace, thank God. And you find about 5 verses later, I think it is, the Bible says, and she looked up at Boaz. And she said, why have I found grace? It appears to me that she found what she was looking for. Amen. Hey, listen, I'll tell you this. How the same goes true today. How you come in the house of God looking to be critical, and you'll probably be critical. And you come in the house of God and not looking for nothing, you're liable to find nothing. But if you come in the house of God and looking for the grace of God and for the help of God, hey, you know what you're liable to do? Hey, you're liable to run right smack dab in the grace of God. Amen. Oh, she experienced it. But I'll tell you this, listen, this is where some Baptists mess up. And she exhibited it, amen. And she got grace, and she gave grace, amen. And she loaded up one day. I think you'll find it in chapter number 2, whenever old Boaz was so kind to her, and he let her come among the sheaves. And then he said, you know that, I don't even want to preach on it. If I preach on it, I'm liable to get stuck right there. But what a good place to get stuck, amen. I mean, thank God, whenever the Lord, oh, Boaz threw out hands handfuls of purpose. Amen. Listen, they quote it like this and they call it handfuls on purpose. That's not what the Bible said. That was handfuls of purpose. But I got good news. The handfuls of purpose was left on purpose. Amen. And to thank God for that. Amen. Whatever you found, that's been by the good grace of God. You didn't get it by accident. Amen. It wasn't a coincidence. It was the God of heaven in intersecting your life and being a blessing to you on purpose. Amen. Amen. And she said, listen, I got so much. I don't know how that thing worked, but this is my grace, all right? She got so much, she went home. She said, hey, Naomi, look what I got. And boy, she just kept on pulling her out and giving her to her. She said, I want you to see what it is that I've got in my hand. And isn't it something, thank God?
Amen. I hope I load you down, brother. Amen. That's what's happened to me in my life. I don't know about nobody else. But I come up and I pray. And every time I come up and pray, there's just more grace. And there's more grace. And there's more grace. I just thank God. And there's more grace. And now listen, I want to tell you something, friend. And don't fall out with me. But there's some folks that they ain't where you're at. And we'll just write them off if we're not careful. You ought to reach down in that thing and remember that there was a time whenever you wasn't worthy of grace. There was a time when you wasn't no count. But thank God for the grace of God that just poured out on our soul even when we didn't deserve it. Amen. 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 She experienced it. She exhibited it. She exuded it. You know what it said about everybody? Now listen, this is, I don't want to hit a snag, but I probably will. A type or two. I can't preach too happy. I got to throw in something. Amen. I'll go home and I'll feel bad about the way I preached if I don't say something corrective at some point in time. Amen. I got to think about this. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. Isn't that right? Boy, I like that part, don't you? I like that part, preacher. We like to shout that part out. And we like verse 14, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about that verse in between there? And it says, thank God at teaching us and denying ungodliness and worldly lust, and we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And the same grace that bought you is the same grace that taught you. Amen. If the grace of God brought you out, but it don't teach you and put some things in, ain't something wrong with what got you out. Amen. I say this. He said, teaching us specifically that we should not live, that we should be sober, and we should be righteous. Righteous, and we should be godly. You know what it said about Ruth? It said the whole city knew she was a virtuous woman. Everybody in the whole town said, hey, you know about Ruth? I said, I know she's a Moabite, but man alive, and have you ever seen the grace of God work on anybody anymore? And what it worked on Ruth's life, I'm telling you, everywhere she went. Hey, listen, she might not have dropped it with her hands, but she demonstrated it with her life. Amen. Well, I want to be graceful. I mean, I'm glad I'm part of the family of God. And if you're a part of this family, you ought to be graceful. Amen. Don't you think that's right? And I got thinking about, listen, don't get to, I got to thinking about, these are some honey holes I'm preaching on. And I'm going to be honest with you, whenever I got digging around in them, I thought there ain't no way I'd be able to preach it all in one night. And then Kevin said, Kevin counseled with Kevin, and Kevin said in his own head, you probably ought to divide that up. But every time I'd get in it, I thought, boy, I can't leave that out. I'd get to thinking about it again. I thought, Lord, I can't just drop that part. I got to think about, listen, I want to be graceful like Ruth, but I want to be thankful like Mephibosheth. Amen. Oh, Mephibosheth, he was adopted in. Amen. No reason anybody should have wanted him. He didn't bring anything to the family. As a matter of fact, all his life, the only thing he ever was on David's family was an old burden. That's all he was. But thank God, I'm glad David was willing to have that burden. Amen. He said, bring him on in here. Let him sit at my table, and he shall eat as one of the king's sons continually. Amen. Boy, I say thank God. I mean, I know some of you, you've been running under your own power for a long time. But boy, I sure am glad. I lift my hands up to God and say thank God. All I've ever brought to the Lord is sin and trouble and sorrow and mistakes and fears and doubts. Hey, listen, every time I come to Him, I think, man, this is the last time. There's no reason why He ought to deal with me. But bless God, good news. Before He ever adopted you in the family, He knew what you was like. Amen. It didn't surprise Him. Mephibosheth came up there and he said, wait a minute, you can't walk. Go on back in. No, he knew he couldn't walk before He ever brought him in. I'm telling you, I'm 3/4 away from running the pew. You just wait and see. I mean, you ever just think about where you're standing in your life? I mean, just listen. How many times you get up, you get to crawling pretty good for the Lord, And about the time you take two or three steps, you fall flat on your face. And then the Lord comes back up, picks you up, dusts you off, puts you back down on all fours again. You say, not this time, Lord. Say, I ain't going to fail you this time. And before you take another step, you done fell on your face again. And can I tell you, there's not never been a time, I've got three of them, and Terry, there's never been one time whenever there's babies that I didn't pick them up and I kicked them back down and said, I can't believe I'm having to pick y'all up again. No, that never happened. Yeah. Every time they fall down, every time they cry, old dad run to where they was, or old mom ran to where they was, and we just pick them up, and we dry off their tears, and send them back out, hold their hands out, and say, come on, you can do it, you can do it, amen. I say, thank God. I want a Savior that would love us the way He has. I mean, I'm talking about, thank God, that Mephibosheth knew he should have died. I knew he should have been written off. But boy, when they called him up, and when he came in that place, and David said, oh, you don't have to fear. You know what the Bible says Mephibosheth did? He bowed his head, and he reverenced him. Amen. I want to be thankful like that. I don't want God to, I don't want somebody to have to stoke it up. I want Kevin to be in a place where I never forget at the land of nothing that he found me in and where he's brought me to. And hey, good news, this ain't my final destination. Oh, bless God, amen. He's not taking me all the way to where I'm going, but I'm going soon, amen. I like the way he looked at him. I like the way he longed for him. We usually only preach out of 2 Samuel chapter 9. But you flip on over there. After David's messed up, Absalom's taken the throne. David's come back. Absalom's dead. Othniel comes up and he tricks him. And then on down there when the king comes back, here comes old Mephibosheth. Amen. Yeah. Now hold on to your hats, neighbor. I ain't never got a hold of this till today, or the other day, I guess, whenever I was studying on it, and it echoed in my heart real loud today. This is what it said about Mephibosheth. It said, oh, no, listen, I may not ever get there, praise God, but this is what it said about him. He said he hadn't trimmed his beard. He hadn't changed his clothes. Wow. And this is where it gets good. It said he hadn't dressed his feet. Hold on now. Hey. Y'all remember what was wrong with Mephibosheth? He was lame, amen. But thank God, listen. He said he hadn't taken care of nothing that he was. Had nothing gotten over the whole time the king was gone. There was such a longing in Mephibosheth's heart that he didn't even take care of himself. He just laid where he was at. He said, if the king don't take care of my feet, I ain't taking care of them. If the king don't change my clothes, I ain't going to change them. If the king's not the one going to help me, I'd rather lay right here with a grown out beard and old clothes and to go serve Absalom. I'd rather stay right where I'm at and wait on the king. Amen. Amen. Boy, I wish there's some folks that get to longing for him like that. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what makes me real happy. When he shows back up, Bobby, you know what? You know what David says? He's already given the land to Ziba. Ziba. However you pronounce it, whatever, northern, southern, whatever. Amen. He said, I've already divided it. Uh-huh. You know what Mephibosheth says? He says, let him have the whole thing.
Amen. Yeah.
He said, I don't care nothing about that. He said, I just wanted to see my king come in peace. I mean, that got on me.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, Mephibosheth's in that place. He said, I don't care nothing about land. I don't care nothing about what's mine. He said, I'm looking for the king to come back. And he said, that's the only thing on my mind. Oh, listen, I wouldn't have God, that's what we thought about every day. Yeah. Hey, I want to be thankful like Mephibosheth's thankful. He got put in the family of God. I'll say this to you. Listen to me, friend. I want to be faithful like Uriah was faithful. Yeah. Y'all remember he was a Hittite, don't you, I guess? Everybody all right there? He was a Hittite, and he got grafted in. Hey, listen. He was more faithful than anybody in the whole kingdom.
You're right, brother. Amen.
You go look in 2 Samuel 11, maybe verse 11, and you'll find about everything he is faithful to in that thing. Old David brought him home after he cheated with his wife, tried to get him drunk and go into her. And he said, oh, he said, I can't go down there. He said, the ark's in a tent. That means he's faithful to the covenant. Amen. And he said, and my Lord, that means he is faithful to the Creator. He said, Joab's down there. That means he is faithful to the captain. He said, I got to go fight for you. That means he is faithful to the crown. Amen. Y'all listen to me. I mean, if you're really glad you got put in the family of God, it seems a real small thing to ask for us to be faithful. Don't you think that's right, Dad? I mean, to be faithful. But if we're not going to be faithful, I'll tell you what that says. That says, man, we don't care near as much about this family as what we act like we do. But what a blessing. What a blessing. Gracie, you keep singing that song. Every time it makes you happy, you sing it. Hadley, keep singing that song. Mary, keep singing your song. Keep getting up that little book, testifying, telling about the goodness of God. Zach, I'm looking for these young men. Davis, I mean, praise God, keep on. Tell them what good things the Lord's done for us. Beth, keep singing the song, amen. Donnie, keep testifying for the goodness of God. I'm simply saying this, where we're standing at right now, if we're happy to be in the family of God, let's just keep being faithful, amen. Amen. Be faithful when nobody else around you is. Hey, I'll tell you what, you're standing out there and he's got his sword in his hand. He's going to town and he looks around and there's nobody else with him. He said, I guess I got to fight this on my own. And I didn't find him retreating. I didn't find him laying down his sword. And I didn't find him running away. I found him just kept on fighting till the day he died. Now, I got good news for you. In 2 Samuel 23, maybe it is, whenever David's going down his 37 mighty men and he goes down that whole list, I believe it's in David's heart, Bridget, just to write 36. I can't prove that. That's a Calvinism. Jonah, I believe that whenever David's writing, I believe David intended to record 36 men. After he wrote that 36 men, the Holy Ghost said, you left somebody off. You know who that 37th is? He said, Uriah the Hittite. 37 in all. I'm saying this. We're going to be on this thing. We ought to be faithful. We ought to be graceful. Y'all think that's right? Amen. We ought to be thankful. Then I got thinking about this last thing. Getting birthed into the family of God. Acts chapter 16. You can turn there. I told you every one of them's honey holes if you know your Bible. Every one of them. Acts 16, you find a Philippian jailer. And he's about to die. I always thought he's lost all the prisoners. He gets up and he gets ready to take his sword and fall on it. And then a voice calls out and says, do thyself no harm. And he called for a light and it sprang in. Is that what it says? And he came before him trembling. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Is that right? Boy, he says, leave on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou in thy house. You know what happened? He went home, took him home from that hour. Begins to wash their stripes.
Yeah, buddy.
Boy, I like what it says next. Said, and he rejoiced greatly. I want to be joyful.
Amen.
I mean, if you got birthed into this thing, if there was ever something that we ought to exhibit, we ought to be thankful, we ought to be graceful, we ought to be faithful, but we ought to be joyful. I don't even understand folks that ain't joyful. It's hard to wrap my mind around. You say, ain't never been a time you ain't been joyful. There's been a few. But I ain't stayed there very long.
Right.
Somebody help me on that. Don't die up on me right there. I've been in this thing for a pretty good spell. And there have been some seasons. When you got the wind knocked out of you. And it's everything. I'll tell you, when I'm not joyful, I can still be faithful, Brother Joshua. When I'm not joyful, I can still be thankful. Boy, I sure like it when I get to be joyful.
Hey, bro.
Let me go on record as saying this. I just want you to listen. I don't want my joy to be seasonal. I don't want it to come when the summer comes and leave whenever the winter season shows up. I want to be what the Bible says. Rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Well, I like that. And he said, and if you didn't get that first time, Apostle Paul, he said, and again. Well, I like to have that joy. So I don't want my joy to be seasonal. There's some folks, they got it for a season. And Stephen, you just look at them. Brother Wayne, you think, man, what? They go through a season. And if they're not careful, that season turns into a year. And that year turns into a decade. And it goes so long, they don't remember when the last time they had joy was. Perhaps, Lord, I want to have joy in this thing.
Yeah, buddy.
I like to listen. I'll preach however the Lord wants me to, but my favorite way to preach is when I'm joyful.
Amen.
I like it. I mean, sometimes it's necessary to preach mad. Y'all believe that or not? It's I'm talking about in the spirit, not in the flesh. Amen. Be mad about some things. The Lord's mad about some things. Y'all think that's right or not right? I'll guarantee it whipped them out of the... You reckon he is full of God when he whipped them out of the church? Sure he was. But boy, I like to see folks come in the house of God and be joyful. I don't want it to be seasonal. And I'm going to tell you this. I don't want my joy to be substituted. My wife used to try to make sweet tea with Splenda. And I convinced myself I liked it. Till I went to McDonald's. I thought, I don't like that substitute no more. If I'm going to get something sweet, I want it to be sweet. And if I come to the house of God, I don't want my joy to be tied up in everything else. And I'll raise my hand right here and say, boy, there's times old Kevin comes in and my joy's tied up. My joy's tied up in a lot of things that ought not be tied up in. But in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, when they come back, they all come back with joy saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us. There was going to be a time that the devils wasn't going to be subject unto them.
Amen.
He said, I beheld Satan fall from heaven as lightning. And he said, I give you power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the enemy. He said, notwithstanding, y'all know what it says. In this rejoice not, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Amen. Amen. And there's no substitute. Truck breakdown today, name's still in heaven.
Amen.
Amen.
No food in your cupboard, name's still in heaven.
Amen.
Ain't that right? Brother Mike, listen, I know Lisa and Bessie going through a hard time, but good news, name's still in heaven. I mean, we just go on. Joe, listen, time ain't God got to fight all hell. Good news, name's still in heaven, amen. Right. Hey, no matter what happens, hey, good, bad, ugly, indifferent. My name is still. Say, how do you know? Well, one, he said so. Two, I talked to him about it just today. Still there. Still there. I don't want there to be a substitute for my joy. And I'm afraid, listen, it's just good to be in the family of God and to have joy in the family of God. Let me say this to you, and then I'm going to be done. Y'all stand to your feet. I want you to think about this. Here's the last thing I'm going to say. I don't want to be like David and have my joy stole from me. And he stole it himself. He was a thief of his own joy. And you know who usually steals Kevin's joy? Kevin. It's the craziest thing in the world. Why would I steal something that I love so much? But that old flesh, he'll steal it from your spirit. He'll have it and have it hid. But I found, listen, stay tuned right here, will you, for just a second. I found the hiding place. I find where my flesh always tries to hide it, and I figured out how to get it back. Y'all listening? Stay tuned. Psalm 51:12. Tell you what David did. He just went back to the source of joy and he asked him for some more of it. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And you know what happened? He did. And he may lose it again, but I'll tell you what he can do again. Praise God. He said, therefore, with joy shall we draw from the wells of salvation. Say, how deep's the well? Same depth the one in John 4 is. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I'm saying this. If you ain't got it, you can have it. How many's in the family of God and you know it? All right, put your hands down. Don't raise them up on this one. How many of you are faithful, thankful, joyful? We got all those things in our life. What about being graceful? If we're in the family of God, everybody that was ever in it demonstrated those attributes. And I don't want to settle for one. I want to have all four. And I'm going to take it a step further and I'm going to be done. I want it to be said about Amazing Grace Baptist Church that this church is a church that's graceful, a church that's thankful, a church that's joyful. Y'all with me right there? And people that are faithful. Allison, come play. You've got the message. I gave it the best way I know how. I don't know your needs tonight.